is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron. Today is... I have lost track of the days. I believe
it doesn't really matter anyway.
I know. I believe it's August 9th, 2000. And what, 14, 15 at this point? The days are just coming together.
Mm-hmm. You're old. We're old. We're all old.
Yeah. I realize every day that I am getting increasingly older, and it makes me sadder. I'm Brian Kilby. With me is John DeLuna for 2 weeks in a row, XV, and Rob Clay. I was on the drive home from work yesterday. I was talking to my wife, Kim. And I said, I think I'm going to dig out my high school high school and elementary school transcript and just share like the 12 days of underachievement on my Facebook page for, the next 12 days. And she told me not to. So last night I gave basically a warning to all the kids out there who are still in school. And we have some listeners that are still in school. Do well in school, kids. Otherwise, you'll be the person who is on Facebook at 1:30 in the morning, 15 years after you graduated, talking about how poorly they did in school. You don't want to be that person. Don't be me. Don't be that guy.
Brian, every week we do this show is a lesson to not be you.
This is true. It's true. Nice shirt, by the way, XV. I like that orange on you.
Orange is my color.
Orange is XV. So,
And XB is hate. Therefore, orange is hate. Remember that.
Orange is hate. I like that. Orange is hate. So, Peter is not around this week, nor is JD, to do the tformers.com news desk. So, in their stead, you get us. So, this...
I'm sorry.
Yes. This is the tformers.com news desk. So, first up in the news this week, seriously... go out and buy up all the junkions or the junk heaps that they have at Ross, at TJ Maxx. If you have an Ollie's, go to Ollie's because those things are going to go quick because Made in Japan is mass producing their upgrade kit. I am going to buy like five of them. It looks good. I can't wait to see it. Colored. So is this actually going to be, is this a test color or a test shot or?
It's a test shot. There are colored photos out there.
You know, I would like to see, because of the variation in this, I wish they would release kind of like a plain sort of one like this that you could paint yourself. That would be very junky on.
Because well, okay. So Made in Japan started as garage kits, basically, which you could order the parts unpainted and do it yourself.
Yes, I would love to do that.
Though I assume with the mass production, the garage kit version is not going to be done anymore.
That's sad.
Well, it was really time consuming too. There was like a 2 month turnaround time between placing an order and the product actually being finished and delivered.
Wow.
Yeah. So at SavCon, there was a Junkion upgrade head, and they didn't have from Made in Japan. There wasn't a large stock of them, so. You know, at BotCon, you look at the big retailers like, not retailers, but producers like Fan Project the other big one, iGear, and stuff's all over the place. I mean, they have like real production capacity. It's clear that some of these other manufacturers don't. I really want this kit, though. Hopefully it will be, do we have a price on it? It'll be...
$53.
Yeah. It's a lot of parts, though, so...
$25 each, maybe?
Yeah, well, it's anywhere from, I guess, let's see, rumored from 50 to 65, something like that for the whole thing.
Okay, so I will buy maybe another junk heap.
Yeah. Hey, I just gave you a link with the colored photos for reference.
So I'll try this out.
In our chat, the
colors are already kind of neutral, so that it'll fit either a junk heap or a wreck gar.
Oh, that's really nice. Look at this.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is, like, the Junkions have essentially their own color palette. So, yeah, it'll complement probably all three of them to some degree.
Yeah, actually, it probably will work with Scrap Heap, too.
Oh, yeah, if you wanted to, I guess, you know, mod it.
Well, no, I mean, none of this stuff is invasive. It's ball joints and snap-on pieces.
I still feel bad. I mean, I know it's not invasive, but I still sort of feel bad about doing that. If it's a really common toy, it's one thing, because if you lose an arm or something, it's no big deal. But
hey, I'll at least happily clip a new chest plate over Scrap Heap's boring, brown, undecorated torso.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, but if you're going to have to remove an arm or something, yeah.
Well, you know, you don't have to use all the pieces at once.
That's true.
It's not like they're all linked by little arms where the whole piece has to fit on together.
They should be.
Like Samurai Prowl.
You know, Samurai
Prowl. Oh, that's actually kind of clever the way that worked.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't like the concept, but I really like the execution. Samurai Prowl is a great toy.
I actually held out getting Prowl specifically to get that version, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of having an 8.5 month lead time on the cartoon.
Yeah, so animated.
You can see all of next year's toys before the first one ever comes out.
So animated is one of the times when I was a completist, so of course I had both. Thankfully, that was the last time I was a completist. So next, you're getting the headline only. You're going to have to go to tformers.com to read it, because the headline says everything that I care about. Optimus Prime and Bumblebee team up for a colossal two-part Transformers Rescue Bots time travel episode guest starring Tim Curry. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a ratings bonanza.
That's all you need to know. And finally, in the tformers.com news desk this week, quick, look out. Collectible pins coming to Japan. I actually kind of want these. We were talking about this before the show, and the Quintesson sigil really reminds me of the one of the ancients from the Matrix in The Return of Optimus Prime. Yeah, The Return of Optimus Prime. I almost said Rebirth, but it was definitely Return of Optimus Prime. The one that was voiced by Peter Cullen, where he just basically had his the pitch of his voice raised about 3 octaves. I really want that pin. No one, if I put it on something, no one will ever recognize it, but I will, and that's the important part.
I wouldn't mind having a maximal pin.
Oh yeah, those look great. Let's see, do we have a Viacon pin here?
No.
No. The Jazz chest is really kind of random. The Red Alert chest.
There's a Nest pin. That's interesting. Actually, there's several of them.
Do you see where one of the barricades is on eBay? As in, like, the Mustang in one of the movies?
Really?
It's up for auction on eBay. He was going for 38, I think, yesterday, which was not the reserve price. But. Yeah.
So is it a Roush Mustang, or is it, it's not just basically stock.
No, let me look it up. Maybe over.
Yeah. I mean, if it's 38, if the reserve on it was like 50, that might be under, like, you know, invoice on that.
Barricade Transformers movie. It's over. Let me go find it. Oh, eBay.
Yeah, these kits that are based, not the kits, the buttons that are basically the characters really don't do anything for me, like the Cybertronian Thundercracker or Bumblebee. Kind of weird. The Optimus Prime is okay, because at least that's recognizable. But the Jazz and Red Alert, kind of less so. I mean, if you're...
A little random.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at, like, a con or something where other nerds hang out, they'll probably get that. But the Quintesson one, no one will ever get. And really, the Nest, I think if you had that Nest button, even at BotCon, someone would probably punch you. So, I mean, I wouldn't wear that. It's cool.
Although I do like the one button here, if I tell you I have to kill you.
I missed that.
It's in the third row of the movie ones.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. I like that. That's not bad. So definitely, if I can get those piecemeal, I'll be buying about three of those. So I'm super excited. Not quite as excited, though, as I am about Tim Curry. Pretty awesome.
Of course. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty much the news this week. It's mostly what's transpired since the last RFC. We've had a lot of news and stuff up until this point. I think basically now that summer is winding down, we won't get a lot of news until, say, maybe fall, when we might get a glimpse of some toys for 2013. Or maybe, I don't guess we're going to get, we might get a wave of Generations. When's Wave 3 of Generations due?
There is no Wave 3 of this Generations. It's going to be the 2013 line after Wave 2.
Okay, so basically, probably, so nothing for Christmas.
Or it might appear around Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, that's happened before.
Yeah. Man, I hope there's like more stuff going on between now and then, because I can't talk about pins every week. I mean, I could talk about...
Well, okay, because I don't think we're going to have another set of pins to talk about next week.
Oh, that's sad.
Now, we've already talked about these, so there's no point in talking about that again.
Yeah. So, let's see here. How much did the Barricade go for, John?
I'm not sure the auction's over yet.
Oh, how much is it going for then?
Let me check.
37.1.
Okay.
And that's actually, that actually appeared in which movie?
Somehow I think we've lost John a little bit.
Yeah, he said he's getting no sound, so.
Oh.
Whoops.
And I just got some lightning, so if I vanish, that's because the power went out.
Yeah, nice. I'm in the same boat. 37.1. Oh, it's a Celine Mustang. I'd pay that just for the Mustang. Of course, it's not street legal because it says police. Even though it's evil, even though it's evil police, you can't drive. You can't drive that. Oh, it's in Manassas. That's not more than 3 or 4 hours away, I don't think. Hey, Kim, can we buy a Mustang that appeared in Transformers? She said no. It's a Celine Mustang.
You really need to set up Kim with her own microphone so we can hear.
Yes, it's only $37,000. Our fans and listeners really want you to buy it for me. I think she said that they have, that the guys want to need to start a Kickstarter for me for this, which I'm all for. I would buy that. Sorry. Okay. Moving along. So I mentioned this. So I finally got my Shockwave, my SDCC Shockwave. If you listened last week, you'll know that I basically had to put up with some grief from FedEx. Everyone I dealt with was nice, but it's just a matter that they were really closely adhering to it. Kind of a dumb policy. It's so much so that Hasbro had contacted, or Hasbro Toy Shop contacted them. Then Hasbro contacted them and said, you know, just deliver the toy. And they refused. So Hasbro Toy Shop actually initiated the process to have the toy shipped back to them so it could be shipped to me again. So I said, screw it, I'll actually go pick it up. So I drove to the local FedEx hub. And, well, I got there, and the parking lot was empty, but it was open. I walked in, spoke to the guy. He looked at my tracking number. He's like, that's ground. You're going to have to go to the other FedEx facility. So, which, of course, is not what I was told originally by the customer support people. But We drove around until we found it, and basically it looked like a prison lined with FedEx trucks. It's pretty sweet. I had to walk through a turnstile and speak to security through through a microphone. But I squeezed through. It was really tight. But I squeezed through, went in, basically had to buzz my way in, sat down, waited, and about 10 minutes later, I had my shockwave. And it's totally not worth all the – I mean, it's totally worth the effort. I love it. That alone is worth the effort. I love this little guy. I love the bats anyway. The fact that they use – it looks like the head from – or the paint scheme for the head from the G.I. Joe, that awful web series, the
Resolute.
Yeah. So it's like the paint scheme from that with Constructicon green for the body. Really nice. I really like the Destro as well. Actually, my friend Jason saw the Destro and thought that he was the exclusive itself, and he thought that was pretty great. He loves Destro, but I never really cared so much for this Destro version. But make it purple and slap a Decepticon symbol on its chest. It's gold. So. And of course, the hiss itself is really nice too. It's basically an unaltered hiss. The one from the new movie. The only difference is that some of the parts are molded in translucent plastic, which is very striking. If you're watching the video, you can see right here the cannons on either side are translucent purple. And the shockwave cannon is actually just an attachment that goes on to the standard missile launcher, comes right off, and it shoots missiles like normal. Pretty cool. It's a neat little thing. There's some other accessories with it. Nothing really too major, though. But I really like this hiss mold anyway. And I love the colors. I love the plastic. And it's a neat idea. I really hope that for, like, SDCC 2013, we can get Snowcat.
Nice.
Just Snowcat.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so... So it was worth it. It was worth the headache. I'm really glad I didn't order the Bruticus, though, because, well, I would have been twice as pissed off having to go through all of this.
Do we know anybody who got a Bruticus, who got, like, within the golden 30 seconds to get Bruticus?
Oh, I had it. I could have bought it two or three times. I had the opportunity to, because I found it before it was announced that it was found. I mean, I found that HTS had put up the stuff. I was OCD about it. I'm really good at getting on and getting those things, usually because I can sort of, between working, I can sort of, switch tabs, hit F5 to refresh, and check between, tasks or whatever I'm doing. I totally had it, and I just elected not to buy it. I'm like, don't really want it that bad. I just want the box.
Well, I would have let you keep the box and give you $50 for the toys.
Yes. No. If it had been the retail release in those kind of gaudy colors, I would have gone for that. But the game accurate colors really don't do anything for me.
Yeah, not really. Pretty dull.
They're dull. Maybe at some point, if Hasbro actually does release those at retail, like they suggested that they might at BotCon, I might do it. So we'll see.
Yeah, good luck getting a fourth set of those out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've done it before.
That's what I gotta say.
Maybe not as.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is Bruticus, right? Yeah. So. I mean, there's history there of a gajillion redecos.
It might take them a few years, but just in the U.S., how many different repaints of Bruticus have we gotten in the last 10 years? At least three.
In the last 10?
10, 11.
Yeah, 10. Yeah, 10 to 13. I mean, we had.
We had the desert camo, the Arctic camo.
Yeah,
so in retail.
The retail. So that's three. Yeah, I guess Bruticus never hit Toys R Us as an Encore exclusive, or no.
No. But if you add in Japanese ones, it triples.
Yeah. So, I mean, and honestly, they put a... So, it seems to me that they put a lot more engineering into Bruticus than they did, say, into, like, Superion Maximus or Bruticus... Was it Bruticus Maximus as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to me. So, I think there's a lot more return on investment that they need to get on this than previous
computers. Well, you know, the Energon ones were just three molds altogether, so...
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So,
and showed.
Yeah.
But on this one, they did, I guess, the kind of controversial or debatable decision to make them true Scramble City types, where the limbs can be a leg or an arm, and that has some interesting consequences.
Well, I haven't seen the toys in person, so I can't comment really on that. We'll see how they actually look. It would be hard to pull that off, the whole Scramble City motif, without having brick formers.
Which... I mean, they did it. It's just that, I mean, the thing is, like, you go to that trouble, and still, at the end of the day, they'll make either a really good, they'll make a better arm or leg one way or the other. You know what I mean? It's like,
G1 toys, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like... It's a novel idea, but going to all that extra effort, you still walk away with a robot, a vehicle, and a way better leg than an arm, or vice versa. So
here's a question, just academically. Has there ever been a Transformer that made a good arm, a good leg, a good vehicle, and a good robot?
Gigatron. Wait, he didn't.
No, that's just a hand.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it's a good hand.
Arms sold separately.
I'm trying to think.
Blot.
You know, I bet one of the yeah, obviously, of course, I bet one of the Energon limbs was decent at all of those. I don't know about good.
No.
No.
Combaticons are supposed to be the best of them, and by then I had kind of given up on the whole thing, so it's the only one I don't have.
Yeah, I mean, you either have to do something like this, something like the Energon Combiners, or something like in the complete opposite direction, what's his name from Beast Wars?
Like Tripredicus or the other one?
Yeah, the other one. Which I
have. Magnaboss.
Magnaboss. I have the Japanese version. But, yeah, I mean, they're very complex. Tripredicus is less complex. He honestly kind of sucks. And it's really just a lot of luck holding those together, because you take Ironhide from Magnaboss, and his outer shell just basically has to hold on just so on, you know, one of the other, like on Silverbolt. I think Silverbolt was the bird, wasn't it?
Yes.
To work. So, I mean,
it's because he was Skywarp,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
You figure out how an eagle is Skywarp.
It's a really fast eagle.
But basically, it's a little bit of luck. Honestly, there's a little bit of friction involved in holding those things together.
Yeah,
what she said. And it's just honestly not a great way to design one of those combiners. And of course, by Beast Wars, they were trying to refigure out a lot of this stuff. But with that being said, I still really like Magnaboss. It's a very nice looking toy if you can transform it and combine it. Tripredicus, not so much. It's a flaming pile of crap. I mean,
what about Magmatron? Where does he fit?
Oh, God. I'd honestly mentally aborted Magmatron. I really
Wow. Yeah. You just got a coat hanger and started digging in that brain, huh?
Yeah.
Get him out of there.
It just doesn't work.
We all have days like that.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw the resin model for Magmatron, I flipped out because it looked incredible as a resin model.
Well, they all look incredible as resin models.
Especially the Neo stuff. Looked amazing. And then they did the actual toy, and all the details disappeared and you realized he was a piece of shit engineering wise, and you got some scotch and you drank yourself to sleep.
Yeah. Woozy Tiger in the chat is suggesting a Battle Gaia repaint of Fall of Cybertron Bruticus. I would buy that.
I mean, it is the obvious thing to do, although I would expect that to come out of Japan or BotCon.
Sounds e-hobby to me.
Yeah. Yeah, collector's clubby.
I would totally get that. Heck, I would get it in freaking Arctic camo colors. I really like that.
I mean, I think that's a really pretty color scheme.
I thought that was the best use of that color scheme. Except for the G2. Damn, I love G2.
I mean, I like the idea of him trying to hide behind a glacier or something, you know?
Or even better yet, hide behind Glacier, the wrestler. Sorry.
He could do it.
Yeah, he could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a ninja.
Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to Rescue Bots this week. Amy and Nicole, and unless I'm mistaken, they actually review episode 1 of Rescue Bots. Let's go ahead and jump to that. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, we're back once again with another 5-minute review of Rescue Bots. I'm Amy.
I'm Nick. Hi.
And we are going to do something a little bit different this week because I am going to be out of town and there's not going to be a lot of time to record. We're going to go back and review some of the stuff that we haven't for Radio Free Cybertron so that you might be interested in going and checking out something else. So I thought we'd start at the very beginning.
It's kind of like a recent retro review.
Yeah, because we never did review this one anyhow. So we are going to review the first episode, which was called Family of Heroes. And in this episode, we get introduced to all of the characters and the rescue bots. And Optimus Prime makes an appearance for one episode.
Yeah. Well, he has like the first like major line. He's the one that comes in and tells what's happening, and he has to give the guys, you know, the rescue bots,
their
bad news that you can't contact Cybertron. Yeah. This is where you're at, and they're like, "Oh god, how long were we in stasis?"
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and he—that's when he gives them the mission to stick that he's going to have them live with the human family and learn their customs and their ways and earn their respect, and basically the whole thing that the show sings in the opening credits, except they didn't have opening credits on this one. It goes right into Chief is the only one that knows, and the Burns kids have no idea. And when they are unveiled at the town parade, or like a town meeting or something like that. It was a town presentation. They all showed up, and he's like, "Hey, we're on the cutting edge of technology, and now we have these robots, so we're even more awesome than we were before." And that's at that point they get an emergency call, and the kids jump in the cars and they go off, and they have no idea that these guys are sentient robots, and they go to the fire that was at the museum, where we also are introduced to Dinobot.
the first time.
Yeah, for the first time. And we basically, they've noticed subtle things about the robots and how they're different. They don't seem to be doing what we expect them to be doing, but, you know, maybe it's just us. And pretty much by the end, Cody has figured out ahead of time that the bots are more than what they seem and are actually robots. He gives them tips on how to be robots. It's pretty much the whole setup. Cute. Yeah.
You're supposed to talk like this.
Yeah. And that was hilarious how they did that. It was really great. They choose their alt forms as well. I didn't mention that, but you know,
but
this is the only time we see Optimus Prime. So, it was good. It was a good episode. Yeah, it's not, I'd say, as funny as what they've set up since, but it was a good place to jump on. And of course, it's the first episode, so sets everything up.
It's a very good introduction to what they're there for, what's their purpose, you know. But yeah, it's a good way to introduce the characters.
Yep. So, I'd say that's...
Plus you meet Frankie and her dad.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, quite literally, it just sets up the whole routine. At the very end, that's when the kids, the Burns guys... They let them know that, by the way, they're alien robots. They're like, oh, Okay.
That's nice. I love the yes. little picture at the end of them. It's really cute.
Yeah, yeah. The snapshot where they almost, dad pretty much photo bombs them and they're like, what? Yep. It was great. So, yeah.
Thanks, dad.
Yeah, thanks, dad. Yeah, exactly. As my child comes photo bombing in here. It's excellent. but yes, that is the episode number one, and that's our short review of it. So if you get a chance to check this out, it's on the Hub on the weekends, and I'm sure that you can find it on YouTube as well, because that's where I've been sending my kids when they're like, Mommy, I want to watch this. I was like, well, go watch it on YouTube.
Yep, exactly.
So yeah, and I'm sure that in no time this will be out on DVD and you can get it and watch it to your heart's content, or even to your children's heart content, because yeah.
Oh, I know I'll be getting it. I know I'll be getting it. It's a fun show.
Well, let's just say as a parent that I find it very amusing and the references are wonderful. So even if you're like, you know, I've seen a lot of kids shows and some of them are like, okay, I don't want to see that at all. And then some like, I only want to see that once. This I can listen to over and over again, except Cade. Cade can be a little, you know, egomaniac. But other than that, fast forward through that. Yeah, this is a really good show. So check it out on the Hub or on YouTube. So, and that's our quick review. We'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye. Shooter McGavin.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
That's cool.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Ever see a ball quite like this? The Nerfles, Office of Bob, Speedy, Frankie, and Scratch, each sold separately.
So much fun to clown around, to change and rearrange around.
You bounce them up and roll around.
Yes, Nerfles are a ball to be around.
They switch around, they spin around.
Nerfles turn your day around.
Yes, Nerfles are a ball to be around.
The Nerfles, oops, the Nerfles, Office of Bob, Speedy, Frankie, and Scratch, each sold separately from Parker Brothers.
Transformers are monsters. Decepticons and Autobots in action again in the battle for ultimate control.
Jetfire reporting, scavengers in trouble.
Transformers, more than
meat. Good truck, scavenger, but not good enough.
You can combine Jetfire with Optimus Prime for maximum firepower to challenge the Decepticon menace.
Pick on someone your own size.
Transformers, robots in the sky.
Transformers Armada, each sold separately. Actual change time will vary. Batteries not included.
I'm Buster Jones, and this is Radio Free Cybertron. Listen.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So we are back. Before the break, we were talking about the Follow Cybertron Bruticus kit bash someone is doing with the... is it a fans project kit?
Yeah.
To turn it into Battle Gaia, John found the picture on Flickr. Look at that. It is pretty freaking beautiful. I really want that and will never, ever own it, because no one will ever produce this, and I am going to ruin another Transformer trying to paint it ever again.
It really is like this awesome... bright, vibrant color scheme that would look great. It would be such a it's such a random change of pace. It would be the best redeco ever.
Yeah, it would be. It would be nice. It's very Japanese. Japanese. You know, actually, during the break, the conversation about that sort of led us to conversations about other Scramble City style combiners in the 80s, and we were last speaking about Computron. And how none of the stuff really is that great. But it's if you go back to being if you put yourself in the place of a kid in the 80s, or really anyone in the 80s, all of the vehicles sort of seem like futuristic versions of what your standard vehicle would be, except for Nose Cone, who sticks out like a sore thumb because he's like a driller tank.
And even in terms of color scheme, he doesn't go with anything else there.
He's not cohesive.
Yeah, it's really weird. He doesn't even have like so he's got yellow when he could have just as easily had the orange from Afterburner.
Or,
you know what I mean? It's weird.
Or if he could have had the orange from Strafe's cannons, and yeah, that would have been a nice accent. But no. I mean, there are a couple things I don't like about it. I mean, I don't like the fact that the combiner bits are brown. It's a little boring. Like the combiner bits the combiner bits for Abominus are like pink. And mm-hmm. sort of fit into this sort of 80s thing. But yeah, it's a little boring. And John had mentioned how the shield stand thing that comes with Scattershot is sort of a gigantic cheat for Computron. Because otherwise, basically, it's Scattershot standing on his knees, holding everyone else up. So, but yeah, so the things that you miss by not watching live.
Yeah. Of it. The things you forget when you're 12 years old or 9 years old.
The sad thing is, I honestly think about Computron a lot because I've been working on a story for like 13 years now that I need to finish. But without sleep, you lose a lot of crap.
Mm-hmm. Hey, real quick on this, though, like kind of digging around Flickr, one of the things that for years, I had like this incredible lust for, and then all of a sudden it kind of randomly died. It was G1 gift sets for the combiners. I would just fall all over myself just at the sight of them, just because I wanted those so badly as a kid. And I think I only had Devastator twice, something like that, and never had another gift set. But there was nothing more like amazing and like the forbidden fruit as seeing a G1 gift set for a combiner, and that box art of the combined form and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, like in the last couple of years, I just don't have the romance for them anymore. It's kind of weird. I don't know. They've just stopped being like this incredibly desirable object when I guess ironically they're kind of affordable now. They're not, they don't cost as much as like a car anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I was speaking with one of my coworkers yesterday of all things and recounting basically, God, this is sad, but it's true. Recounting one of our topics from after BotCon about how the price of G1 stuff has dropped, except for Japanese stuff, or characters that were prominent in Japan. I think that's probably one of the reasons that Six Shot is in the secondary market is so expensive, because he was prominently featured in Headmasters. I mean, that's a guess, but I mean, there's probably some truth to it. But the conversation started when we were talking about Pawn Stars, and it's just one of those things that, yeah, the price on these have dropped. And if you really, you know, if you've been waiting for years to pick up some of this stuff, now is the prime time to do it. But yeah, some things like that I really, really, really wanted, I could care less about.
Yeah.
The box sets, the gift sets are one of them. Maybe if it was a gift set of like something that I never, ever thought that I could possibly get. In the chat, I think it was Don, had mentioned Dino King gift set. That would be fantastic. They didn't do a Monstructor set. He was just sold on card, right?
That's right.
Yeah. But it would be nice. I got to see a Dino King gift set at SavCon. I've never actually seen one in person before.
Ooh, of course, interesting.
Of course, it was still sealed. If you opened that thing up, the Pretender shell would probably... Yes. Yeah,
so. Disintegrate. It's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. It just melts right in front of you.
Yeah. So, I would really like maybe Dino King, or oh goodness, is there anything? Maybe like a reimagining. Like, of course, it's not a gift set so much, but the G2 Bruticus that's coming out. It's a reimagining of. Of something. Maybe if we got like a reimagining of like a Monstructor set, if like what would Monstructor have looked like if he came in a gift set, crazier stuff has happened. So
sure, sure,
it's possible. Mm-hmm. Speaking of crazier stuff, this week's Transformers Rewind is City of Steel, and it is about as crazy as the first two seasons of Generation One gets. I think an episode that we do later on this month might be a little bit crazier, but it's certainly not worse. As you'll see in this, I personally consider it the worst episode of the Transformers, the Generation One ever. Certainly, it was topped by some stuff in the Unicron trilogy, but it's pretty darn bad. And let's go ahead and jump to Transformers Rewind, and we'll be back right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers Rewind.
This alligator is big and heavy on Transformers Rewind this week because it's City of Steel.
Remove the debris, Longhaul.
Remove! Remove! Always remove! I didn't join this outfit to be a dump truck!
The Decepticons have set up shop under New York City. After stealing the Empire State Building, Megatron launches his plan to convert New York into New Cybertron.
The Empire State Building is sinking!
The Autobots head out there to stop Megatron, but a fight in Central Park ends with the Decepticons capturing Optimus Prime.
Meanwhile, officials are baffled as to the cause of the disappearance of the world-famous Empire State Building.
Megatron's work. If we don't get to New York City fast, there won't be a city left to get to.
There! Optimus Prime is directly overhead!
Then dig, you fool! Dig!
Megatron cuts off his motor function and uses him as a hostage to force the Autobots out of the city. On the way out, Spike diverts the Autobots to the sewers instead. Megatron's a bit paranoid with Prime around and has the Constructicons take him apart and do whatever they want with the leftovers, while Megatron keeps the head.
No pitiful attempt to stop my conquest of New York City has failed, Prime. And soon the rest of North America will fall to me as well. But even immobilized, you worry me. Hook, disassemble him at once.
With finesse and pleasure.
Excellent work, Hook. You're an artist. Don't you agree, Optimus?
As long as power flows through any of my circuits, Megatron, I'll fight you.
Spike and the Autobots in the sewers run into a brightly colored alligator robot, while Hound's tracking sensors are getting confused as to where exactly Prime is.
In some messy swamp, not under the biggest city in North America.
Wait! My sensors indicate Optimus isn't in front of us anymore. He's behind us.
It looks good ahead, but it looks miserable back there. Get out of there! I'll cover you!
This way! It's the only chance we've got against that robot reptile. I can feel it in my microcomputers. What I can't figure out why my sensors keep saying Prime's behind us instead of in front.
They send the alligator for a ride in the train and get in Megatron's basement to find Prime's head. Figuring out what's up, they have to go back and grab the alligator pod. But this alligator is big and heavy, but they manage to subdue it, and Ratchet rebuilds Prime's body, short and arm. Attacking Megatron's fortress from outside, they encounter evil taxis, and Prime's arm is the fortress's defense battery. Devastator is formed, who grabs Prime and climbs a tower, while Wheeljack remote controls some helicopters and makes a painfully lengthy King Kong reference.
Devastator says, your end is near.
I saw this once when I linked my data bank to an Earth television transmission. I think it was called King Kong. And Devastator reminds me of that big baboon.
Y'all better get to your Wheeljack. Maybe Devastator saw the same picture.
Meanwhile, Spike and Bumblebee decide to invade Megatron's control room by themselves because that's a great idea, but somehow they manage to not die and break the control over Prime's arm. Prime uses it against Devastator, who goes down with just a single hit. The Decepticons retreat, and the city is supposedly back to normal.
That is like the longest description of an episode you've done so far.
Really?
Yes. But it's totally warranted. It's totally warranted, because this is, like, the worst episode of Transformers ever.
No, it's not.
It's up there.
Wow.
It's not like it's Call of the Primitives.
Oh, dude, this is so worse than Call of the Primitives.
No, I actually enjoy watching City of Steel.
I like watching it because it hurts.
You would. So this is one of the infamous episodes animated by ACOM instead of whoever does the majority of the season 2 episodes. Oh. And boy, does it show!
Yeah,
I love no wonder it was crap.
I love how the scales are off and how Ironhide
and the character models, the frame rate,
how Ironhide just slumps over like he's drunk at one part. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah, what the hell? That was awesome.
And yet at the very beginning of the episode there were just a couple of really short sequences that were done very smoothly, and I started to think, wow, this is pretty good. And then there was the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm a firm,
and I really do love
what, Brian?
I was going to say, I am a firm believer that even worse than like Carnage and C Minor, I think this is the worst episode of Transformers ever. I've watched it multiple times, with the exception of maybe another episode that we talk about soon. It's just awful. I mean, there's nothing redeemable about this episode. Nothing. Except
but
that it makes me happy.
This alligator's big and heavy.
Oh, God. So, let's see here. I think it has one of the most awkward lines in all of Transformers. Optimus is talking about how he thinks that he can control the Alligator Con. And he says, and I quote, "That is, if I really am a part of that jigsaw puzzle of a Reptilicon." But he says it, like, in two beats. Just that.
You find that more awkward than the King Kong thing?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I find that more awkward than the fact that Optimus Prime somehow has mind control.
He's a
well,
psychic.
No, it makes sense he has mind control over his own body parts.
No.
I mean, he controls
it
his mind normally anyway.
Not to mention his arms can float in the air and trip Megatron, and he trips and he goes, oh, yeah, you know what? Just take this away. I'll keep the head because, you know, the head's not going to, like, shoot lasers at me randomly, because why doesn't Optimus Prime... I mean, if Optimus Prime somehow can control his limbs from, like, way the hell on the other side of the sewer, why can't he just get laser eyes all of a sudden? It's so inexplicable.
It's bad.
This was an acid trip of an episode.
It is.
That's what it really is.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is when, you know, they cut to Prime having been rebuilt, there's still a bunch of parts on the floor around him that look like, you know, Prime's pieces.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we're just like, meh, meh, meh.
You didn't need those anyway.
Yeah.
You
know.
There's always a few spare parts left over, it's like bad. Half your yeah. chest.
Yeah, when you take something apart and you put it back together, there's always spare parts.
That's
what they're there for. I think another one of my favorite parts is Optimus Prime is disabled when his motor relays are severed by a soldering iron. A freaking soldering iron.
That was actually, like, that just touched, you know,
that
the
touched
plate.
Him, yes.
You know? He didn't, like, rip open a body part or something and hit him with it, but instead he just touched him on it. He's like, oh, I got you.
Well, see, that's why Prime died in the movie.
Yeah.
Because Megatron cut into his motor relay and he couldn't move or something.
Right.
Except that he did.
This
makes perfect sense in my head. Don't question me.
He moved because he was using mind control on the rest of his body at that point.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm trying to remember if it was long Longhaul or which Constructicon it was that ended up making the hole or the sinkhole that Optimus fell through. His shovel ended up being like a mile long.
Wasn't it a scavenger?
Was it scavenger? Okay. It was like a mile long. He was like deep in the recess of the earth. And then, you know, it was like, oh, let me push this lump of dirt up to get, you know, Optimus to fall down. And Optimus fell like 50 miles or some ridiculous distance.
Yeah.
There's just no scale in this episode.
But that's why he lost his motor reflex. That's why a soldering iron took care of his motor thingy majiggies, because he fell like 50 light years away, and he finally landed.
Like, and right after that, there's a scene where Megatron is standing over Optimus, and Megatron's arm overlaps Optimus's smokestack, and Optimus is laying on the floor, so his arm is like 7 times longer than his body. This is just a really poorly put together episode. I love it. Did they do a Child's Play?
I don't think. Well, okay. The off the top of my head, the ACOM episodes are City of Steel, Roll for It, and crap, can't remember the other one. There was 3 of them though in season 2 that I remember.
Yeah, Roll for It had some pretty bad scale too, but I like Roll for It.
I hate that episode.
It's kind of I like it because it's boring and innocuous. It's like it's when G1 was at its best. When I say G1, I mean the first 2 seasons.
Of course, because we all know that after the movie, it was G2. Then
no, it was amazing then. And next week we are going to feature The Low Road. Which, of course, is that episode. Yep.
It's that one episode of Beast Wars.
Yep.
You can't deny it.
Yeah, so pull out your Beast Wars DVDs or go to Netflix and if you've never seen The Low Road, we warned you. So, yeah.
It's like a Wes Anderson movie. It's really just snappy and high level and cerebral.
It's awful. It's the Beast Wars version of City of Steel. It's great. Okay, so that will pretty much do it for RFC this week. Don't forget to... We're still trying... I was hoping we would be at 1,000 fans by this week, but we're not. So we're still a few away. Go to facebook.com/TF Radio. That's your assignment. Right now, go to facebook.com/TF Radio and like us on Facebook. If you already like us on Facebook, make a troll account and like us with that account. Let's see if we can get to 2,000 fans by next week.
Yeah, because isn't like 83% of Facebook accounts fake or robots? I heard something like that.
7%.
I don't know. I heard. Well, those 7% need to come find us and like us.
So,
because we love robots.
So tracks. Okay, with your 17 Facebook accounts, make about 25 more, and go like us, and then subscribe to my Facebook page. You're not blocked. I've only blocked your one account, so you are totally good to go. So, I'll unblock you. Actually. Really, if you promise not to try to hack into my account again, or, you know, try to message me or pretend that you know me.
You know he can't do that. I know.
It's 83 million Facebook accounts are fakes or dupes, which is almost 9%. So come on, guys. Come on, fake accounts. Come on, robots.
I could go
come
for, like us. I could go for some fake likes. That's how I got to high school. So okay, so follow us at TF Radio on Twitter. And you can follow me. My personal account is at bkilby, or you can subscribe to my Facebook feed at facebook.com/BrianKilby. XV does not exist on the internet. So, John, how about you?
You can follow me at thatjohnd, and then also new Soundwave, which is new_Soundwave.
It's back.
It's back. We're actually doing it once a month. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you haven't downloaded or listened to this month's episode, please do, because we do talk about gaming and then also buffets and just Peter as Peter. He's worth examining every time. And it's fun. It's a fun show.
It is. It totally is. Rob.
You can find me at Flailthroughs. Yesterday I just reviewed Transformers Mystery of Convoy for Review of Bad Game Day. And you can find XV and my figure review website at Figure Reviewers.
Can you give us a hint as to how you reviewed Mystery of Convoy?
Well,
it was very accurate to the experience of playing Mystery of Convoy.
Yes, there's at least five or six game overs through the course of a 13-minute video. So
now, on the Game Center CX...
And totally, as you would expect, the first one was within 20 seconds of starting.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. On the... did he finish it on the Game Center CX episode that featured that game?
Have not seen.
I need to go and watch that. I don't know. I doubt that he does.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone finishing that game.
I just so I could review it fairly, I used cheat codes to finish it, and I cannot imagine anyone doing that for real. I'm sure some... insane person has actually put in the dozens of hundreds of hours it would take to get that down to a science, but
I know they have.
Will not be me.
I've read this stuff on All Star.
I've heard Protoman is able to do it.
Yeah, I can see Protoman.
He posted about this before, and actually, I believe he did a video Google Plus Hangout where he did it one night.
That's impressive. Is any John, again, we're gonna have to do the game segment at some point. Has anyone played? Has anyone played the Headmaster's Disk System game recently?
Not terribly recently, but I've tried it.
I played it not long after the ROM hit the internet, so it was like 1998, and I haven't played it since. I don't remember if it's as bad as Mystery of Convoy or not.
Not quite. It's still pretty bad, but it's a step up from Mystery of Convoy. I mean, if it's the same set of programmers, they at least proved they were capable of learning, which surprises me. But other than that, I can't really say much for it.
I want to go back and try that out. I would actually. It just occurred to me that I don't have a Famicom disk system.
Oh God! eBay.
I would run out of rubber bands. I could totally not use that. So,
yeah, it does have a really touchy drive belt, as I recall.
That's the rumor. Okay, so that's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, watch The Low Road if you dare. Totally worth.
Why not? It's fun.
Yeah. Next week, Amy will be back. She should be on the show. She'll tell us about her time at Auto Assembly this past week, and of course she'll review Robots in Disguise #8, Because Dear God, I Don't Want To. And hopefully she'll also cover Regeneration 182. I would like to have like a real review of that and not a Brian review. Actually, I thought my review was pretty good, but I would still rather have Amy do it than me. So for the guys, I'm Brian Kilby. We'll be back next week, and we will actually have slept before the show. We promise.
May not.
I promise.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.